Hi, I'm Jamie Soward. Welcome to another edition of Power Hour with Soward. This is where I catch up with some of the biggest names in rugby league. Today, I'm joined by the current New Zealand skipper, Dallin Watini-Zelezniak. Oh, so Dallin, we caught up earlier in the year, pre-season. I went out to Penrith and had a chat with you about the Panthers' upcoming chances for 2019. Let's start there. What's happened at the start of the year, mate? What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much. It's been a pretty shaky start for us at the moment. But we had probably had one of our better games on the weekend, but we just didn't get away with the treat. But it's something to build off. But yeah, it's not the ideal start we wanted for 2019. But it is what it is, and we just gotta keep pressing forward.
When we spoke in the preseason, and we spoke about the performances last year, how you were the comeback kids, and I'd been involved with you playing for Penrith, and how much we'd sort of changed our game, and you know, we had certain goals in mind. You spoke about consistency and the slow starts.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've gotten better in that area in 2019? Like, is there a change coming? Last Friday night was a big change in terms of your game, but we haven't seen that enough this year, have we?
Nah, not at all. I think our start serving been good. The whole game hasn't been good. One thing we did good last year was come back, but this year, I don't know, you just feel like you're waiting, like we think that's going to happen, and we're waiting to come away at the end. But it's just, yeah, it's just not working, and you can't keep doing that because, well, you'll start the season like we have if you do that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you travel to Wagga this weekend, and certainly you look at the ladder and the way the Raiders have been playing, it won't be an easy game. If you lose this weekend, the eight seems a long way away, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's what I would say talking about. Like, you don't realise how much it can affect, like, the way we've been going, how much it'll affect finals, like, even our finals hope. But yeah, it's a massive game against Canberra there, and they're playing really well, and they're up there at the top of the ladder. But yeah, if we even want to think about finals, we've got to get our game right now. Otherwise, we can kiss that goodbye.
Let's talk about the off season. You're one of the leaders out there at Penrith. You're named in that extended leadership group and captaincy group that Ivan Cleary had. Run us through the off season, mate, because I live in the area. I live quite close to you, and the feeling out there that was the for the last couple of years that the premiership window's been open. Yeah. I know you're a proud Mormon man. How much has it affected you personally? The effects of what's happened during the off season with the club.
Yeah, with everything that went on with the videos and that.
Yeah. I'm not looking for any dirt. I'm just asking. Yeah, mate, we've played together, so I understand and I respect your Mormon faith, and I always like to think that we're able to have a joke, but you wouldn't overstep that line. And I know that you're the New Zealand captain now, so with that comes a lot of responsibility. Run us through your version of how it affected you, and maybe has that affected the team and the start to the year?
Oh, for me, I'm a big believer in everyone makes their own decisions and are held accountable for it. And yeah, I'm massive on not judging people for what decisions they've made. Like, with our season, I don't feel it's played a part on our season. I feel like at the time it sort of affected a lot of the boys. But yeah, I don't think we can use that as an excuse of how we've gone. I think we just, to be honest, I don't know what's going on with us at the moment. We just got to discipline and holding the balls, what's been killing us. So I don't know. We just got to try and fix that up.
I want to talk to you about that because I was quite vocal. I watched that Sharks game, and the first half I thought, this is the Penrith side that I tipped to come second this year. And I hope you don't mind me saying, you probably knew yourself, but a lot of talk about you guys being the young guys, and I was there when you made your debut against Canberra. You scored a double against Canberra on debut at Penrith. You're not young guys anymore. I'm trying to get it across. You've all played 70 games. You've played 103 games. The ill discipline that night when Malachi gets hit by Chad Townsend, a real learning curve for you, because, I mean, being honest, you've been caught in that situation a couple of times where people have tried to fire you up, and you've probably reacted out of character. Yeah. But what did you learn out of that? And do you feel like you can pass? Because Wanga did it in round one, you did it then, and it slowed that momentum. What have you learned from that experience?
Oh, yeah, because it was the first time I've sort of been put in a situation where it's not me, it's my brother.
Yeah.
I sort of worked on with myself being able to cop things and just take it on the chin. I learned a lot through the last year's tour at the end of the year, captaining, and how I set the example for the boys. And I think I just, as instincts, as a young, like brothers, as you grow up, if someone does something, you automatically react to it.
Yeah.
And that was sort of my reaction to what he did. I mean, and looking back at it, it was stupid. It cost us a penalty with the ball, which is pretty crucial. When you got the ball and you get away a penalty, it's pretty tough on the team. I think the only person that was proud was my old man.
Well, what did he say to you? Because I guarantee Ivan Cleary wouldn't have said the same thing.
No, yeah, my old man said, "You're dumb," but he goes, "It's good to see you stick up for your brother."
What did Ivan say, mate? Just give us the PG version.
Yeah, Ivan pretty much said the same thing. It was a stupid decision. Like,
you
can't give away a penalty while you got the ball. And I knew straight away, as soon as I seen him, I just nodded my head and I said, "Yeah, no, I just seen red and reacted that way." But it was a good learning curve for me because we're obviously going to play a lot more games together, and I'm just going to have to leave it up to him and go for it, bro. You do what you
mate,
want.
Mate, he's the I'm older brother. He's the older brother. He's supposed to stick up for you, mate.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, "Hey, stick up for yourself."
Let's talk about your leadership because you had that extended captaincy group. Yeah. How much have you learned about yourself in terms of maybe off the field? I mean, I know you're a proud father and you've got two beautiful kids and you've got a beautiful wife, Purdy, who's supported you since when I was at the club with you. What has Dallin learned about himself in terms of leadership last year? You're the current captain of the New Zealand side. You come into Penrith, you're only 23, but you're considered one of those senior players having played so much already. What's the one thing you've learned about yourself?
Probably the voice. Being able to actually coming into NRL as a young kid, you don't know if like you can talk, or you don't know if you're going to be wrong or you're right. But you'll never know if you don't talk or you don't speak up for what you think or believe in, or even just speaking up for other players for young kids coming through.
You struggled with that early, didn't you? I mean, in 2014, we had a fair few vocal guys.
Yeah.
And you sort of struggled. You were that talent on the wing that could do anything and still is one of the most talented wingers I've ever played with. But you struggled early on in terms of wanting when to get the ball, wanting to express yourself with also staying in those team boundaries, which a lot of young guys can.
Yeah, because I was 18 at the time, and you come in, and I've always been one to respect your elders, so you just listen and you take it. But as I'm sort of getting one of the older guys in the team, I'm sort of listening to the young boys, and when they voice opinions, they're actually teaching me things. One thing I've learned is that you're never too experienced or too old to listen to thoughts of younger guys and thoughts of other people. Just being able to talk and stand up for myself in situations where I believe are right and what things we should be doing, shouldn't be doing, even things in a game plan of plays that I see or things like that, and just speaking up. And the worst you can get is, "Nah, mate, it's not going to work." So
yeah.
I think I think I got it wrong coming in, where I thought, "Oh, if I say something wrong, they're going to blow up at me, or they're going to think I'm dumb." But as I've gotten older, and especially last year in the captaincy role with Kiwis, how I had to be that voice and come up with things, I really got a lot of confidence out of that. And even if I am wrong, just getting the answer, like, the worst you're going to get is, "Nah, mate, it probably won't work," or, "Nah, that's wrong." That's the worst you'll get. No one's going to blow you up. No one's going to get angry at you. So that's one thing I really learned.
And I think as an older guy, I remember when you came in and I was just blown away by how much speed you had off the mark and how talented you were. You do the freaky things at training. I think looking back, when guys come into first grade, you want guys to speak to you, and I was the kind of guy that would just blow up and move on, but if I didn't get a reaction or something back, I probably didn't show that you cared enough. And I can see you've matured into that role after captaining the Kiwis. But I want to take you back, because I've done some research, thanks to Malcolm Middleton, who's done all my research for me and given me a heap of stuff. 2013, Dallin Martinis Lesniak, who is Maori, Tongan, and Polish descent, is chosen to play for the Australian schoolboys and says no. Was that a an easy decision to come to, or were you sort of tossing it up?
The year before that, I trialed, and it was a goal of mine to make the Aussie schoolboys, but it was also a goal of mine to play for the Kiwis too. But coming through Australian school, like the schooling in Australia, it's always just been the pinnacle of it.
Yep.
Playing for
it's prestigious.
Yeah, like it's the top, it's the highest you can go in rugby league, in school football. So that was always a goal of mine. And the year before that, I didn't get into the team, and I was pretty bummed out. So the year after that, it was coming up the 20s. I was tossing and turning because I didn't know if I wanted to. And then I had a meeting with Steve Kearney, and then they sort of put it out on the table for me, saying, "Hey, we really want you to come over and join and see what it's about," and those kind of things. And that meeting sort of persuaded me to pledge to the Kiwis. But yeah, but I still wanted to go with the Aussie schoolboys because I just wanted to see, because it's always been a goal, I want to see if I was good enough, like,
to play with the elite guys in Australia.
Yeah, mixing it with the best in Australia. Like, I wanted to see if I was good enough to make it.
So you do that in 2013, Dallin, and then 12 months later, you play for the New South Wales Blues.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Yeah, I know, because that was another thing. It was just goals of mine that I wanted to tick off, and I was still tossing and turning, but that meeting I had with Steve Kearney pretty much, like,
cemented your decision.
Yeah, it cemented me going with the Kiwis, but there was still that thought in my head, like, do I really want this? And it came down to the decision was, could I stand there and watch the haka being done to me? And
right.
Yeah, and I couldn't stand there and watch them do a haka to me. I'd feel out of place and not comfortable. I wouldn't be happy.
And now you're leading it. So you play for New South Wales 2014. 2015, take me to that moment, because you selected to play your test debut for New Zealand, the Anzac Day test, but you pick up a suspension on a tackle on Wade Graham. You must have been devastated.
Yeah, I remember I played centre. I played centre that game, and in 2015, and then I got told on that Wednesday before that game that I was going into tour.
Yep.
Going into the Anzac test, sorry, and then I played centre, and then it was a penalty. Like, it wasn't that much. It was a penalty. it wasn't put on report or anything.
Right.
And then, anyways, it came Tuesday. I was on camp, and then we were on the bus, and we're coming back from training. We had just finished training, and then Steve Kearney got on the mic and said, "Hey, guys, there's been a situation. Dallin won't be playing this week."
Did you think it was a J-up?
Yeah, and I was like, hang on. The year before, remember, I got injured.
Yeah.
So they said to them, "Oh, you guys are G-ing me up. You're trying to get me from last year." And he goes, no, mate, you've been hit with a grade one dangerous tackle."
Oh, no.
And I was like, "No, you're kidding." And he goes, "Yeah." So we were going to fight it, but
you would have missed games.
Yeah. It was gonna disrupt the camp. So he just said, "Look, you can stay in camp. We'll just have to get, I think it was Petter."
Yeah.
I think Petter played, or yeah, someone else played. And yeah, I was pretty devastated. I was pretty, really gutted at that time. I'm pretty sure I cried a bit.
Oh, so, mate, it's a prestigious moment, because later on that year, you're supposed to go on a tour in England, and you have a collapsed lung.
Yeah, yeah. So it was pretty, my Kiwis career was, international career was pretty rough start, but I'm a massive believer in things happen for a reason, and I'm glad I stuck strong, because it's reaping the rewards now.
Yeah, certainly, and you make the journey to 2016, your Kiwi number 794 against Australia in Newcastle.
Yeah.
Take me back to that moment of your first run out there, because I know that you're pretty easy, you know, happy-go-lucky kind of guy. I've watched you warm up. Sometimes I don't know if you switched on or not, but you've always got that big smile. So once I saw the smile, I knew you were ready to rumble. Talk to me about your debut. What's the one thing you remember?
Probably that week. I remember just wrapping myself in cotton wool after training, going straight to my room, sitting in my room, and then I remember the boys went to the beach as well, and I sat there and watched them. I didn't go for a swim because last time I did, I broke my foot. One memorable thing was probably running out and seeing my family in the crowd, like right there, and while we're singing an anthem. I remember because I sort of broke down, and I was just saying, finally, like, I'm actually on the field. There's nothing now that can stop me from playing, and I'm about to live my childhood dream.
Awesome. Oh, I got goosebumps thinking about that. So, again, another moment, you fast forward to last year. Michael McGuire picks up the phone, and you realise a dream, probably fair to say, you never thought might be possible in captaining the Kiwis. Now, I'll get you to pronounce your great-grandfather's name so I don't do it any disrespect. Steve Watene is the first Maori captain to captain the Kiwis in 36, 37.
Yeah.
What's the first feeling that comes to you is obviously pride, but that emotion, take me back to when, did you realise after that straight away that he was, did you know before that your great-grandfather was captain of New Zealand? Yeah. And if so, when Michael McGuire, when you hung up that call, what was your first sort of emotion?
Well, my first thought was my wife was in the car. We were in the car at the time, and my first thought, I looked at behind her, and I just said, "Did he just say what I think he said?" And then my wife was crying, and then she's like, "Yeah, he did, he did." And I sort of cried a bit, and I was just like, "What the heck?" Because that Denver test, he told us that he told the whole team he's not picking a captain. He's going to look for one over that week he was with us and get to know us a bit more. And that was the last thought in my head that he was thinking of me as captain. He had like Isaac, Luke, and all those boys there. So I was just sort of just being myself and giving my all. And then he rang me just before the tour and said, because he wanted to put me in the leadership group.
Yep.
And then I was like, I'll jump in the leadership group. And then he rang me before the tour and he said, "Are you still keen on being in the leadership group?" And I said, yeah, that'd be awesome. It'd be good to be able to do it for the young fellas and be a voice for them. And then he said to me, "Oh, what do you think about leading that leadership group?" And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, I want you to lead the boys this tour and captain them. And then I went quiet. Yeah, I went quiet, and then he said, "Dow, are you there?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." Sorry, Matt. Everything was just processing through my head what you just said. And I said, the first thing I said is, like, I'd love to, but I just don't want to step on anyone's toes.
Yeah.
Any of those older boys and disrespect them. I said, that's the last thing I want to do is create a rift in camp and people not want me there.
Yeah.
And he said, "Look, I'll give you a night to think about it. And you call those people you love and talk to them about it and see what they think." And he goes, "But I've already spoken to those older boys and
they're sweet with it.
Yeah, they're all on board with it. They think it's a really good idea."
So you go over to Denver.
Yeah.
You're filled with emotion. I was over there for that test match. We spoke about it in the preseason. Hard conditions, probably. Yeah. Not a representation of the test football that you'd play if you were back in New Zealand or Australia. Yeah. So I'm going to talk about the time you go back to New Zealand, October 2018.
Yeah.
You're the captain against Australia, the pinnacle of World Rugby League for so long.
Yeah.
And you win by 2 points.
Yeah.
From a kid that was at St. Clair Comets to injuries to spear tackles, smiling, happy-go-lucky, never said anything, kid on the wing, to now leading his country in a massive test win over the pinnacle of World Rugby League.
Yeah.
Does it get any better than that?
No, I was talking to my family and my wife about it. It's probably the highest I could probably go as a player. Like I was talking when I was younger, like how school football was Aussie schoolboys, and like, but for me as a kid, and the ultimate goal was
to play Aussie schoolboys.
And to play Kiwis is let alone like massive, but to captain them is just, I don't think it'll be hard to top that in rugby league with captaining the Kiwis.
So the Kiwis is all ticked off, mate. You've done everything you've captained. Let's talk about a premiership, because
where are
the Panthers at the moment, mate? Like, you see this window opening, you're off contract at the end of 2020, so you've always been a Penrith junior. Gus got you to the club. How much did he, I guess, mould you into the young man that you are today, the talented young man, the leader at 23, captain of his nation? What did Gus do for you? And where's Penrith's premiership window at? Because I felt like it was open in 2014. 2015, nothing. 2016, you know, I'd left, but you got second week of finals. 2017, second week of the finals. 2018, second week of the finals. Where is the window at? Put some clarity on that and talk to us about Gus and the influence he had on you.
Gus was massive for me. I think when I have someone that believes in me, I thrive on that, and I don't want to let them down. Like, for example, I'll go back to Michael Maguire putting me as captain and putting so much faith into me. You don't want to let them down, and Gus was one of those people that trusted me and put faith in me. So one thing I didn't want to do was let him down, and I went a lot to him with things. Anything I ever needed in my life, I could go to Gus with. So he was pretty much, you could say, the godfather of Penrith, where if he had something wrong, you could go to him and he'd fix it.
Yep.
And, it was sad to see him go, but, as I said before, he's been massive for me in growing as a person. He was one of the people I talked to about the Kiwis captain team, what he thought. Just to see him leave, it was pretty hard. But I know that he doesn't do things that he doesn't want to. So it was obviously he was happy with it and happy with what he's done for the club at the moment. I hope him and his family are doing well right now. I sent him a message too. So, but with our finals and that premiership, I was like you. I think there was a window for us in 2014 where we were against the odds and we did a job on the Roosters, and we got to that game against the Bulldogs and we almost tipped them off too. That was a window where we almost did it. And then 2015 wasn't too pretty, and the rest of the years we came close, but close enough wasn't good enough. So this year we probably haven't started the year like the other years, but I still have hope. There's been a lot of teams that have been in a situation like this that have gone through to win the premiership. So I know that there's a chance for us there, but we just, as I said before, we've got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. I think we're our own worst enemies at the moment. So if we can stop beating ourselves and actually, we got the team on paper, and as you said, we're young, but that's not an excuse anymore. I've been saying that too. We can't keep saying we're young. We've all been together for at least 3 years now and made, like you said, the second week of finals. So you can't say we're not experienced and we're too young. I think that's the easy way out, and easy thing to tell people. But we're adults, so we're all professionals. We get paid the same amount as other people, so being young isn't an excuse anymore. We just got to fix our game and place the potential that we can actually be.
All right, let's finish with a couple of... I'm looking forward to these ones because I had asked some people to give me some questions for you because, I've played with you. I sort of understand you. I'd like to think I got to know you a fair well in my time at Penrith. What was Dallin's first ever car? I think you told me this in pre-season. I just can't remember.
Yeah, it was Mitsubishi Lancer.
Mitsubishi Lancer. Did you have it hotted up? Did it have mags and everything like that?
No, I wanted a car, and then a car like that. And then my dad took me. I took my dad, and we were looking at cars. And as soon as I showed him the one I wanted, he said, "Nah, that's not going to be the one."
What color was it?
It was black. It was a Dodge Caliber. It had these rims on it and that. And he said, "He goes, it looks good, but he goes, let me tell you, it won't drive good." And then me and my dad have a good relationship where I trust him with anything. So I was like, as angry as I was like, all right, then, Dad, let's go pick a car. And he took me and he got this Mitsubishi Lancer, and that is still running now, 7 years old, and it's still going strong.
Oh, mate, there you go. Dad's always right. Yep. Run us through, hopefully it wasn't when I was playing alongside you, but your worst game that you can remember where you just came off the field and you thought, that might be it. I might not play first grade ever again.
That was probably 2017, I think. I played the Bulldogs.
Right.
And I dropped probably 5 balls off the ruck.
Okay. Was that at ANZ Stadium?
No, it was at Panthers. And luckily we won, though. It would have been worse if we lost. But I remember it got to the point where I was telling the boys, don't give me the ball, don't give me the ball, I'm going to drop it.
What about your best game?
My best game, I feel probably that Aussie game last year. I captained for the first time. I felt, I felt that was one of my better games, and probably my first game of leading. And I think that probably that one.
What about the best piece of advice I ever gave you about Jonathan Thurston?
Hold the ball. He's going for the strip. I still did that after you stopped playing and I was playing against him. I still remembered that.
Oh, mate, I never forget telling you, and you were like, yeah, bro, yep, all good, yeah, whatever. And I just walked off. I went, oh, he's going to take it, and then first carry back. But listen, Dallin, appreciate your time, mate. The current New Zealand skipper, fantastic leader out of Penrith, proud dad of 2, great husband, but an even better bloke. I'm glad to have caught up with you again in retirement and looking forward to watching you play for the rest of the year and hopefully get the Panthers back on track.
All right, thanks, bro. That means a lot.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Pow Wow with Sow Wow. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back next week.